to the races. Powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz. My name's Frank Vespi. I am your special guest villain today, sitting in for Nick Hahn. We told Nick Hahn to go get a little vacation, take a little time off, a little well-deserved time off for our man on the scene in Virginia. Nevertheless, I'm here and we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia across the Mid-Atlantic and around the country. Today's show, as always, powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. You can find them online. They got the socials, free mobile app. So lots of ways to keep up with Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. The Racing Biz is the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. What a great show we've got lined up today. It is going to be action-packed, and our producer, James Flower, is going to earn his dime today because we got a lot to do. In just a couple minutes, we're going to have Daryl Wood join us. Daryl is going to be talking about all things Virginia. Of course, speaking of Virginia, down at the end of the show, more towards, say, 10:50, we're going to have the great Derby Bill Watson in the house. In a few minutes, we're going to have Cricket Goodall talking about the Maryland Horse Breeders Association yearling show. We've got owner T.K. Kugler coming on right about 10:15. He's going to be talking about his Haskell runner. That's Benevengo on the Grade 1 Million Dollar Haskell Stakes coming up later on this afternoon at Monmouth Park. And at the bottom of the hour, just past 10:30, going to have trainer TJ Aguirre on. You're going to want to stick around for that. TJ trained Chambeau. Chambeau won the Tyson Gilpin Stakes at Colonial Downs on July 11th. What made that interesting, Chambeau's a five-year-old, and she was making her first career start in a stake, and she won for fun. Pretty good stuff. We'll get the backstory from trainer TJ Aguirre. First, before we do all that stuff, let's take a quick look back at last weekend's news. Last weekend, latest running of the Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash. And while the race attracted graded stakes winner Special Reserve and Wonder Where Craig Is and some graded stakes placed horses, well, the day belonged to Baron. James, give us the clip, please.
Baron with Wonder Where Craig Is keeping up on the outside now. Wonder Where Craig Is. Baron Special Reserve slips back in third. Down toward the inside is War Toxin up for a share with one furlong left to go. Baron from Wonder Where Craig Is kicking away a length and a half, almost two lengths in front. Baron and Frankie Pennington. Baron is back on the beam. Baron! Baron to score in the Frank J. DeFrancis Memorial Dash.
It was Baron's eighth win from 18 career starts. He's now over $600,000 in earnings. He's a four-year-old Pennsylvania bred. He's trained by Butch Reed for owner breeders Susan Quick and Chris Pfeifferick. Was ridden by Frankie Pennington. Folks may remember, if you've been following racing for a little while, Baron is out of the great Maryland bred mare, Silmaril. Silmaril was a millionaire, multiple graded stakes winner, most famous for running down future Hall of Famer Ashado in the slop at Pimlico to win the Pimlico Breeders' Cup Distaff all those years ago. Notably, that was on the slop. Baron's win last Saturday, also on the slop, as I believe it was Kramer said, his mother was a mutter, and he's a mutter too. All right, let's get a little closer to home. The classy Change of Control won the Andy Guest Stakes this past Monday at Colonial Downs. James, clip, please.
Three of them right across the track as they come to the top of the stretch. Change of Control on the outside. Jeannie B digs in toward the inside. Going good, still pitching away in between horses. Two and a half more lengths back to Social Chatter down the outside, who starts to run on. A final furlong left to go. Change of Control goes to a narrow advantage. Digging in, Jeannie B down toward the inside. Going good is still right there in the third spot. But inside the final 16th, it's Colby Hernandez and Change of Control in front. Jeannie B, second Change of Control, going to win the Andy Guest.
Change of Control goes past $900,000 in earnings for owner Perry Harris and trainer Michelle Lovell. Colby Hernandez in the irons. Michelle Lovell is loving her some Colonial Downs. She was, came here, I believe last year was the first time she raced at Colonial. She was second leading trainer last year. She has three wins so far this year, so she's right in the thick of things as well. And Change of Control is a classy mare. And speaking of classy, let's bring in Daryl Wood. He's a grade one winner in my book. Hey, Daryl, good morning.
Morning, Frank. I thought that term was reserved for Derbyville, so I'm honored to share it with him today.
that was a good rejoinder. I got to give you credit. All right, what's the news today, Daryl?
Well, we're Colonial Downs 2 weeks in the books and 7 weeks to go still. It's a nice long 9-week meet, which is quite refreshing after what's happened over the past 10 years or so. But, yeah, a great, great handle on the first 6 days of racing. The weather's been ideal, not a drop of rain, not a temperature over 95 degrees. So we've been quite fortunate here the first 2 weeks. Unfortunately, not so fortunate kicking off week number three. We're going to yesterday it went on, we're going to cancel Monday's card, 98-degree temperatures and a really high heat index. So going to bag Monday. The big stake that was going to be held Monday, the $150,000 Colonial Cup, which is the first ever mile-and-a-half stakes race on the turf in Colonial's history. Kind of a neat deal. That's going to be rescheduled the way it was drawn on Wednesday. So still an 11-horse field. Should be a really great, great race, a really strong field. But, yeah, no racing Monday. We're going to go Tuesday, Wednesday next week with a post time of 145. And again, the stakes race, the Colonial Cup, goes on Wednesday.
Well, you know it's hot if Colonial Downs cancels racing because of the heat. Because I think they cut down every tree in a three-county radius to build Colonial Downs. And it is the hottest place on earth as far as I can tell. So it's going to be steamy. And we got cancellations and stuff like that all over the place. Laurel today not racing till 150 and then canceled for tomorrow. And then, as you say, Colonial Downs canceled. Now, I like this. I like this Colonial Cup. I like this idea of a 12 furlong stake on the turf here. You know, I was talking with Graham Motion about these kinds of races a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, they're tough to find. It's tough to find, you know, mile and three eighths, mile and a half races that are not grade ones and grade twos. And he said, you know, a lot of these horses aren't grade one and grade two horses. They need these races, but they're hard to find. So I think you guys are it's an interesting thing. I think it's a good addition to the calendar.
Yeah. Morning line favorite cellist has won a grade three stake on the turf at Churchill each of the last 2 years. The second choice has got $800,000 in earnings for trainer Mike Maker. I think the really intriguing horse in here is a number two Snap Decision. This is Again, Steeplechase is a decades-long tradition of Virginia, but Snap Decision in 15 straight starts has finished first or second, all over the jump, but it's still, it's a mile-and-a-half race, and that's going to be quite intriguing to bring that kind of track record into Wednesday's race. But it's a deep 11-horse field, and, yeah, like you said, Frank, looking forward to the long distance. And, again, first time in 25 years since Colonial started in 97 that there's a mile-and-a-half turf stakes race, so it should be a good deal.
Yeah, very cool stuff. One other horse I'll just throw out there, and Derby Bill and I will talk about this more, but and I haven't handicapped the race, but I saw that Royne is in there. Royne just won a mile and three-eighth allowance at Laurel, and the margin was, I think, a length, and I don't know what the speed figure is going to look like. You can't win a race any easier than Royne won that race. It was visually ultra impressive. So maybe one to look at a little bit of a price, I believe.
And Michael Dickinson, obviously with a couple big wins here last summer. So, yeah, you obviously can't discount that horse.
So that should be fun. What else we got coming up? What should we be looking for down the pike a little bit, Daryl?
Well, I mean, on the big calendar is the Match Series. We've got four $150,000 stakes in the Mid-Atlantic Championship Series coming up on Tuesday, August 16th. That's the same day as the Online Handicapping Challenge. So really a funky day but a really great day to zone in on New Kent, Virginia for the Match Series and then for the Handicap Challenge. And then closing week is going to be a lot of fun. Labor Day, September 5th, we're racing on Labor Day for the first time in 21 years. That's how long it's been since we've had a chance to really have a holiday race card in New Kent and have people that were off and a chance to bring families out to the races. Next day is the Virginia Derby, and the next day, September 7th, is Virginia Bred Stakes Day. So the meet's going to go out on a bang, bang, bang effort there September 5th, 6th, and 7th. So, again, 7 weeks still to go. You know, it's been great weather so far, good horse flesh, good jockey colony. So things are pretty upbeat so far.
Good, good. It's good to hear. All right, Daryl Wood, thank you very much for joining us here on Off to the Races. And I'm sure we'll be talking with you very soon.
You got it, Frank. That sounds good, and stay cool.
That's the best advice anybody's given me. All right, that was Daryl Wood. Daryl working with Colonial Downs, working with the Virginia Equine Alliance. Can we get Cricket when you get a chance, please, James? We are working on getting Cricket Goodall, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, wanted to get her on because I want to talk a little bit about the MHBA annual yearling show. That's taking place Sunday at the Timonium Fairgrounds in Timonium, Maryland. The yearling show, it's the 88th annual yearling show. And a lot of really good horses have come through. If you happen to be in the Timonium area, it's kind of a fun day. You see a lot of maybe tomorrow stars today kind of thing. Okay, we're having a little bit of a hiccup tracking Cricket down, but hopefully shortly. But the yearling show, it's kind of a fun day. You see these yearlings. Trainer Jonathan Thomas, who has been a friend of this show and a multiple graded stakes winning trainer, trained the Millionaire Catholic Boy. He's going to be the judge. He'll be picking a grand champion and a reserve champion. There are four classes and then the championship class. So should be a lot of fun. They have moved it up a little bit. It's going to be at 9 o'clock Sunday morning as it kicks off. And if you haven't heard enough of me by the end of today, you can come by because I'll be the announcer for the yearling show tomorrow at the Timonium Fairgrounds in lovely Timonium, Maryland. So something to do on a Sunday, particularly because racing at Laurel is canceled and a lot of tracks are going to be dark on Sunday anyway. So that will be a fun thing there for the 88th annual Maryland Horse Breeders Association yearling show, 9 o'clock Sunday morning at the Timonium Fairgrounds. James, if we're still getting voicemail, you can probably switch in the direction of getting TK. Okay, yeah, just we go ahead and track TK down. The Grade 1 $1 million Haskell Stakes tops the Monmouth Park card coming up this afternoon. 14-race extravaganza with four or five graded stakes on the docket, including the Grade 1 United Nations, which is 11 furlongs on the turf, and the Grade 1 $1 million Haskell. The Haskell for three-year-olds, and, you know, the Haskell is, it's a Grade 1. It's a terrific race. As a general rule, often gets really good horses, but this year, an especially interesting renewal, we've got Taiba. Taiba was ultra impressive winner of the Santa Anita Derby back in April. Not so much in the Kentucky Derby, but he had only made two starts. That was a lot to ask. And then the super fast and really impressive, now multiple Grade 1 winner, Jack Christopher. They are the two sort of principals here, but we also got Grade 1 winner Cyberknife, White Abario, and a couple others of interest, and want to bring in TK Kugler now. TK is the principal behind Wasabi Venture Stables. He's going to send out Benevengo. Benevengo is 20-1 on the morning line, but I think TK is going to tell us you might want to give this horse a second look. TK, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
It's certainly my pleasure. So let's start with this. How you feeling right now? You got butterflies yet? Still a few hours out from post.
I'm in my hotel room in New Jersey pacing as we speak. But I got to tell you, I get butterflies on nickel claimers. So, you know, it's if you're going to be an owner and you stop getting butterflies, then you should probably switch sports.
I think you're probably right about that. What's the weather like in beautiful Oceanport, New Jersey?
Beautiful. Picture perfect day. It's going to be warm, but, you know, the whole country is warm. But it's picture perfect. I don't think there's a – I'm looking out the window now. I don't see a cloud in the sky.
Well, that's a good way to start the day for sure. Now, your horse is Benevengo. Benevengo, 20-1 on the morning line. He was well beaten in the Long Branch Stakes. He most recently won a first level allowance at Monmouth. Those aren't typically the credentials of a Haskell winner. Tell me why I should be taking a longer look at this horse when I open my past performances.
Well, I'm a guy that watches, you know, 100 races a day. So, and you can't go on trip reports. You can't go on anything else. You got to watch these things with your own eyes. And if you watch both the Long Branch, you saw a horse spinning its wheels, having as almost as awful trip as you could dream up, and just honestly didn't like the slop very much. So you kind of and still ran a good fourth in the grand scheme of things. So put a line through it. But what I want you to watch is you got 5 hours here. Tell everybody in the crowd, I want you to go watch the replay of the last race. And you're going to see a horse running in a first level allowance race. That's true. But you're going to see a horse that stops on the first turn. Why? Because, and the jock will tell you, because the horse wanted horses around him, so he slows down waiting. And then he still wins by open lengths against older company, and throttles down for the last, you know, 16th. So still ran a 99 equibase, even with all of what I just described. So, yeah, is there a huge jump from there to a grade one? Yes, there's a big jump there. But if you watch the races, I wouldn't put the horse in the race. The trainer, Jesse Cruz, would not put the horse in the race if we didn't think we were a chance to be alive here.
You picked this horse up via the claim box for $25,000 out of his debut at Tampa Bay Downs. What were you seeing? You know, what made you want to reach into to grab a first time starter for $25,000?
Well, we actually saw it in morning training, started taking a look at it. And I'm a pretty firm believer of claiming maidens. I know a lot of people out there won't claim maidens. We've had a pretty good history of claiming maidens. And especially at that 25K level, if you can claim a maiden at 25K, you got options. You can go up, you can go down. You can do a lot of things still with that horse, even if it wins, in that race. And it won very convincingly and easily first time out. So it made a lot of sense to take a chance there, and we did, and we got rewarded in this case.
And as a guy who claims horses, a lot of times you don't get rewarded for doing.
And a lot of times you don't get rewarded. That's part of the claiming game. But this time, you know, we drew the right straw.
So far, so good for sure. Now we got a jockey switch here to Angel Rodriguez. Talk about the thought process there.
Yeah, so Isaac Castillo, who's rode him, got injured on a fall. This game makes you go up and it makes you go down pretty quickly. I think it was the day after he won six races, and the very next day falls, gets injured, he's out. Probably will be back sometime, you know, in the summer. He would be up if he was, but Angel rides, comes to the barn, rides for us in the morning, and has ridden, and he actually ran in the morning. He rode him in the morning before the last race. Isaac was out at Oaklawn, so Angel came in and rode him in the morning. So we want a jockey who knows the horse, Angel's a great little rider. So I got no complaints here.
Talking with TK Kugler. TK is the principal behind Wasabi Venture Stables. Going to be sending out Benevengo in the Grade 1 $1 million Haskell Stakes. for three-year-olds this afternoon at Monmouth Park. Now, TK, this is about as salty a Haskell as you're going to find here. You got Taiba, who, you know, was 5-1 in the Kentucky Derby. You got Jack Christopher, who has not done a thing wrong and has been ultra impressive. You got two other Grade One winners. You know, I was reading a quote yesterday from Kent Sweezy, who has a horse in the Grade One United Nations, which is the race before, and he was saying, you know, we were kind of hoping this race was going to come up a little bit easier than it did, but it came up pretty salty. And I wonder if you're having the same reaction with the Haskell.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Monmouth's racing office did a very good job. And, you know, you flaunt around $1 million, that brings in people. So it brings in horses. So, I mean, you got to expect if you're going to win a race like this that it should be hard. And but you're right. I would have been much happier if I would have woke up this morning and somebody told me that three of them were scratching out. But that's not how the game goes.
No, they only scratch out when you are already going to win. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
One thing we talked about yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up here. Earlier this year, we saw Rich Strike. He was a one-time $30,000 claim. He wins the Kentucky Derby at 80-1. Now you've got a $25,000 claim in a Grade One race. You think something's going on here? Is there some change or modification in people's thought processes, or what's happening?
You know, I mean, some of it can be, you know, like we talked earlier, you got to get a little lucky and you make these things work. But what I will tell you is if you understand the economics of the game and you think about the economics of the game, if you're going to run and go buy a $25,000 yearling or a $50,000 yearling or a $1.7 million yearling, as, you know, one of the horses in this race is, you don't know if that horse is going to run a step. Literally, you have no idea if that horse will ever run a step. You can claim a $25,000 or a $30,000 or even a $50,000 maiden, and you know that horse at least got to that race. And then, you know, in the economics of it, you know, make a little sense. Now, historically, people didn't like claiming maidens because, you know, the old adage, you claim one, it wins. If you claim a maiden and it wins, you lose half the value, right? That's the general rule. So if it's running for 25, you're going to probably have to run it for 15 or 16 or 12, 5 or 10 next time out if it wins. And that might be true. But the economics of keeping a yearling, and once again, we breed the race, right? I mean, we run one of the larger breeding operations that you're going to find in the Mid-Atlantic area. So I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth because I'm still running around breeding the race here. And but there's some economic sense in it if you can get past the historical stigma of claiming maiden.
Now, you guys, Wasabi won its first stake recently at Laurel. It was also the first stakes win for trainer Jesse Cruz. Talk about what that meant
also
to you guys.
Also a claim, by the way. Also a claim.
Also a claim. Talk about what that meant to you guys.
Huge. We were actually, my wife and I, we were actually in London at the time. We were at Ascot and sitting at a pub in, 11:30 or whatever it was at night, and with a couple friends, and that was a big celebration. Yeah, I can tell you there was automatic champagne happening instantly after that. So after a day of full champagne, by the way. So, but it was a great celebration. And, you know, talking to Jesse right after the race, you know, he was just, you know, overjoyed with emotion. And, you know, that's part of what the game is. You get in this game, if an owner, you really got a handful of jobs, but mostly it's you take care of the animals and you take care of the people that take care of the animals and you try to stay out of the way. That's what good owners do. And, you know, to have him and, you know, with his backstory and everything and get his first graded, his first stakes win with us was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was. I was there, and I spoke with him in the winner's circle afterwards, and it was clear what it meant to him, and it was a pretty cool moment. And you're really right. It's funny what you were just saying about celebrating reminded me years ago. My wife and I and these friends of ours were partners with some other people on a horse that. I think it was a Maryland Million race is the one I'm remembering. And I happened to be standing behind my wife and this friend of ours, and they're, you know, both fairly reserved women. And I just got to watch the race almost through their eyes as they went from like standing and watching the race to, you know, sort of cheering to screaming to jumping up and down and completely losing their minds. And it's really cool to see what a victorious horse can mean to people.
And you know, it's absolutely spot on, Frank. And you know, it's what you said in the beginning. You know, we come in full circle with our conversation. If you don't get excited as an owner about a nickel claimer and or running in the Haskell, it makes no difference. If you can't get excited by that emotion, then you probably need to spend your time and money on something else, because that's the moment that you're living for, and that's the moment you're working towards, and frankly, even when things go badly, you got to have that emotion too, so you can savor both. And like I said, it's one of the beauties of Wasabi, and we give it a vehicle for, you know, normal folks, if you will. You don't have to be uber wealthy to get a chance to be a part of something and an ownership level that's meaningful. And I hear it over and over and over again from them that, you know, it's just crazy exciting, you know, just to see your horse win. So, I'm telling you, it doesn't really matter the level. Of course, it gets ratcheted up in a graded stakes race, but it's still the same emotion in you know, a Thursday afternoon nickel claimer too.
I'm not sure the guy who just admitted he watches 100 races a day has a very good beat on what a normal person is, but that's just me.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, got to do something right at 5 o'clock in the morning. So.
TK Googler, thanks so much for joining us here on Off to the Races. Good luck with Benevengo in today's Haskell Stakes.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
That was TK Googler of Wasabi Venture Stables. They're going to take a big swing in the Haskell this afternoon at Monmouth Park. We've had an action-packed first half of the program here. Going to take a quick break before we head towards the last half mile. You're listening to Off to the Races Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA bred 2-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first ever Pennsylvania 2-year-old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Champion Gunrunner's Full Brother Fortune Ticket and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at AnchorHopeFarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them 9 weeks of racing in 2022. more money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here, you there. And half of this week's Off to the Races is in the books, half still to go. Now, I want you to spin back in your mind for a minute to July 11th. That was opening day at Colonial Downs. And that's when this happened in the Tyson Gilpin Stakes. James, play the clip, please.
Two more back to Strands of Pearls. Red Pepper Grill still last as they come to the top of the stretch. Chambeau coming to the furlong pole. That lead is now two lengths. Down the outside, Carolina Sun. Tian China still battling away, but is back to third. It's three or four more back to the other pair. Chambeau rockets to the 16th pole, 3.5 in front. Carolina Sun down the outside. Chambeau, an impressive debut here, going to win the Tyson Gilpin Stakes easily.
So what made that unusual, Chambeau was a first-time starter at age 5, running in a stake at first asking and winning for fun under jockey Horacio Caramanos for owner Sam English. You just don't see that combination of things very often. So here to give us the backstory, trainer TJ Aguirre joining me. TJ, welcome to the program. What was going on with this mare that she didn't get to the races till age 5?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And to get started with this mare, she was a little bit of a nutcase, just had a couple screws loose. And my dad had her previously under training last year and just kind of was just starting to learn everything on the racetrack, but just really couldn't handle it. So we gave her a break on the farm. We bring her back this year. She comes to me and my dad's working with me together. We're a little bit of a team here. And with my dad's previous knowledge of her and just the patience that I have, we were just really able to team up and just get her to focus on being a racehorse. And as you can tell, we saw all the talent in the morning. That's why we had no doubt to run her in that stake race.
Yeah, it's a pretty big swing. Even if, you know, it wasn't the toughest field of all time, but nevertheless, you're taking a maiden against winners first time out of the box. Now, when did you start to think she might be a horse that had some quality to her?
So I remember the first time I got the Breezer myself. I get on my own horses and everything. And I know me and my dad are talking, we'll just go a nice easy 3/8, 37 or whatever. So I get her to the pole. And all of a sudden, once I get to the inside rail, I mean, she just dragged me. And I mean, she was just pulling my guts out. And by the time we hit the wire, I'm like, oh my God. All right, mama. Ho, ho. And when I get back to the barn, my dad gives me a comment. He says, how fast do you think you went? I said, Dad, I went fast. He goes, yeah, you went real fast. 35. I said, yeah, I bet, because she was just pulling. I mean, that was just all her. And a couple more works after that. I mean, every step, the farther we went, it never bothered her, the distance. I mean, whether it was 3/8, half mile, 5/8, I mean, she was throwing out bullet work after bullet work. And I was like, well, Dad, we got a racehorse here.
Do you think, you know, you mentioned distance, this just occurred to me. I mean, do you think she's going to go farther? Do you want to try to go farther with her, or do you think she's going to be a sprinter?
I think just in her bloodline that she'll be a sprinter, but I don't think it would ever hurt her to go two turns. But as of right now, it's not broken, don't fix it, you know, that theory. So we're just going to continue to sprint her throughout the year. And I know, believe it or not, the mare, the dam of that filly, she ran second to Ben's Cat. So she ran against the boys, and she actually ran against Ben's Cat in the Maryland Turf Sprint. So she's got a little bit of back class breeding to her.
Yeah, that's the right kind of company to be keeping, Ben's Cat, for sure. Now, I understand that the day of the Tyson Gilpin Stakes was pretty much of a whirlwind for you. I wonder if you'd just kind of walk us through what that day was like for you.
So I had to wake up that morning very early to get all the horses trained here in Maryland. I got 15 here. I had to get them all out, get them going, and then be on the road by about 10 a.m. to get over there to saddle Chambeau at Colonial Downs. So I'm getting finished here, rushing there, rush over there, because she is a little bit of a head case, whether it's even putting the bridle on, because there's no lip chain involved. There's a lot of things that you got to be very, very quiet and delicate with her, just because anything could just set her off. I mean, even giving her a bath, even the water kind of spooks her. So just doing all that, just to being quiet and being prepared for her, get through that process, get her to the ring, get her saddled, get her around the racetrack. I'm like, all right, we won our first stake, you know, happy, happy, happy. Boom, I got to leave. I got to go hop on a plane and go to my bachelor party in Vegas. I got to fly back to Maryland and get on a plane in BWI. So it was a very, very eventful day.
A pretty good day, though, if you're heading out to your bachelor party with your first stakes win in your back pocket.
Absolutely. That's definitely how I want to celebrate.
That's a lot of driving, too, man. That Laurel to Colonial trip is a thing. It's a drive.
It'll wear you out. Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, you're from a racing family. Your mom is Kay Marie Kreidel, a former jockey, now an outrider, best known for capturing Bodie Express after the Preakness a couple years ago. Your dad, Tony, galloped horses. He rode a few. He trained for a number of years. Now he's running, as you mentioned, the Colonial String for you. Talk about the emotion as, you know, kind of a being around racing with your family one way or another, kind of your whole life, and then this five-year-old and finally getting it, having this kind of team effort and this kind of family affair. Talk about what that means.
I mean, it means the world to me because when I was young, my parents got me a rescue pony from the kill pen, and I had that pony for 6 years before he eventually passed away from old age, and it was just sad. It kind of just, you know, deterred me away from horse racing for a while. So I went off and I played football and I came back and in college, I needed a job. So my dad had me start walking hots over here while I was going to college so I could make a couple of dollars. And next thing you know, I fell in love again and I couldn't get away from it. So I just started walking up the ladder, whether it was being a groom, exercise rider, a foreman. I just kept every step of the way and just started learning everything and anything I could from multiple trainers, whether it was Trombetta, Hugh McMahon, Jose Corrales, Robin Graham, Jeremiah Englehart, Jeremiah Dwyer, Whitney Russell, Anthony Ferry. I mean, there's a list of people that I've worked under to kind of just master my own training scheme. And, you know, big credit to my dad, who was always there every step of the way to kind of point me in the right directions when I needed help. And now, obviously, me and him teamed up and, you know, we got a very successful string here going with 25 horses. And the biggest thing is I knew before we won that stake race, I've already texted him. He was on an airplane on his way to Vegas for a bachelor party. I texted him before the Philly crossed the wire. I said, "We did it, Dad." And that was it.
Talking with trainer TJ Aguirre. TJ sent out Chambeau to win the Tyson Gilpin Stakes July 11th at Colonial, a five-year-old mare making her first career start winning a stake for fun. TJ, you've got there's a horse in the background. You've got 10 horses at Colonial, 15 at Laurel. I'm curious, are you targeting certain kinds of horses at Colonial Downs?
You know, these Virginia bred races, I mean, the money's just so good at Colonial. It's nice to get a Virginia bred or Virginia certified to target just these Colonial restricted races. I know earlier this year we claimed back, Crazy Cater for 4,000 back at Penn National in hopes to run at Colonial. And we were very fortunate the other day to win the Virginia restricted allowance race with him, which was a $70,000 pot. So those are definitely the key targets. I mean, you just can't turn down the money there. It's too good of an opportunity.
Yeah, you don't often claim a horse for $4,000 and then get to run him in a $70,000 race. So that's a pretty that's a pretty nice arrangement. Do you think you had Karamanos on Chambeau? Do you think he fits that horse particularly well? What's the sort of connection there?
So the reason why we got Chambeau is he kind of said I make him feel old by telling him this, but he actually rode the mare back in 2011, 12, or whenever she was running. He was riding her against Ben's Cat, and he knew she was very talented just because obviously she's a girl running against the boys, and she runs second. So she only got beat by one other boy, which was Vince Cat, our Maryland champion. So he came over and he worked her, and he says, man, it feels just like the mare. I mean, just the way her stride is the way her stride goes and everything about her. So so he was like, after he worked her, he was like, I want to ride her, like no doubt in my mind. And then he was like, when you work on her again, I'll come get on her. And the rest is history.
That's got to be a good feeling as a trainer when a good rider comes and, you know, says, okay, I want this horse. I want to be on this horse.
Oh, it gives you confidence in not only your horse, but, you know, in the rider to make the right choices. You know, he didn't come back and say, no, this one needs the bug. No, he came back and says, I want a rider.
Do they sometimes come back and say, this one needs the bug?
I've been told before, you know, they just don't like the way they go and stuff like that. And they just, even after a race, and like, put the bug on next time.
That's interesting. Now, TJ, so Chambeau, you're not going to be able to run in a maiden race anymore. So now that you win a stake with her, what's next for Chambeau? What should we look for from her?
So right now we got an allowance race picked out for her because now we're going to go against Open Company, not the Virginia Breds. And that's a game plan to obviously tackle that allowance race, fingers crossed, to win the race. And then after that, we're hoping for final day at Colonial to win that stake race there. They got another Virginia restricted race, and those are our two targets. Keep her in Virginia.
And then, will your whole string be in Maryland at the end of the Colonial meet?
So as of right now, it's kind of up for debate. I know I got a lot of turf horses who are, you know, on the cheaper side of things, and the main goal is to bring everybody home, but it could easily lead us to somewhere else for the winter. But as of right now, like, we want everybody in Maryland back in one spot and kind of keep an eye on everybody together.
Is it challenging to have strings in two different places?
So this whole event is very challenging because I go from having just four horses to rapidly grow to 10 to 15 to now 25 and having them at multiple tracks. But no, I got a lot of trust in my dad. Obviously he's done it for so many years. I got no doubt in my mind the barn is okay and safe and sound.
And that makes a big difference. Trust in this game is an important commodity. For sure. All right, TJ Aguirre, good stuff. Congratulations with Chambeau. We're going to certainly be keeping an eye on her going forward.
Absolutely. You can definitely look forward to her. There's an allowance race coming up in August and then the final day of Colonial. Look out for her.
All right, we will. Thanks so much and good luck going forward. Thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate every day.
All right, that was TJ Aguirre, 27-year-old trainer, sends out Chambeau. Chambeau winning the Tyson Gilpin Stakes at Colonial Downs July 11th. His first career stakes win as a trainer, her first start. So good stuff there. We are going to bring in Derby Bill momentarily and do a little bit of handicapping here on Off to the Races Radio. Big day today. We got, as I had mentioned, we got a bunch of stakes at Monmouth Park we're going to be talking about. Also got the Coaching Club American Oaks is today at the Spa, Saratoga, which is, of course, where all eyes are pretty much perpetually when Saratoga is running. And this year's Coaching Club, not a big field, just five of them, but it's a pretty talented group of three-year-old fillies going to go a mile in an eighth. It's race five, post time 3:16. You're going to have Secret Oath, who won the Kentucky Oaks and then was fourth in the Preakness. Nest, who was second in the Kentucky Oaks and came back to be second, I believe, in the Belmont Stakes, plus Society, an interesting horse for Steve Asmussen, and Butterbean for Kenny McPeak, and Belmont's got Nostalgic, 10-1 on the morning line, but Nest is even money, Secret Oath, 6-5. So that's where the bettors are going to be looking. James, how are we doing? Okay, so that's where the bettors will be looking in the Coaching Club Oaks. Finally, we were just talking about the first-time starter, Shambo. I want to bring in a man who is not a first-time starter by any means, but still on top of his game. It's great Derby Bill Watson. Good morning, Derby Bill.
Yes. The meat and the heat down here at Colonial Downs is rambling on. And sorry you couldn't get in touch with Cricket Scudell. I bet cricket.
I don't think you bet on cricket, though. Just cricket the sport, not cricket the person.
Yeah, cricket the sports. You bet on anything, you know. It's America.
I was going to say, is there anything you would not bet on if given the opportunity?
Probably Knicks picks.
We've been taking a little bit of a beating so far this year, but I have confidence in Nick.
He's definitely down in the dumps. You need to get him a free Dairy Queen coupon.
Well, you know, maybe taking a week off from the show and get a cancellation on Monday. Maybe that's going to, you know, get his mind back where it needs to be. Because he had a big year last year. So hopefully we get right back there. So, all right,
Derby. Vacation always helps.
Exactly. Vacation is a small good thing. It's something I could use, in fact. But let's let's talk. Let's talk Monmouth pick four. You got a pick four you want to play. We'll get this up on the racingbiz.com a little bit later. Starting with race nine, that's the Windstar Matchmaker for three-year-old fillies. It's obviously it's four races. The pick four begins with the Matchmaker, ends with the grade one Haskell. And you got a playable little ticket here. It looks like it's going to be $30. I think $30 for a dollar, something like that. Maybe a little. $30 for a dollar is what it looks like. And it's a 50-cent unit in the pick four. So you get out cheap here. So let's dive into the Matchmaker. What do you see?
Should I talk my Jersey boys? It's the Jersey four for half a buck.
Now, Derby Bell, I'm from New Jersey. So I'm just saying.
You folks strike me as funny talkers, but I'm, you know.
All of you, come on. Yeah.
But I like it, and I don't want to mess with any of you guys because you end up in the river.
I didn't want to say anything, but I got some cement shoes for you.
Yeah, the first race is unbelievably wide open. A mile and eighth on the turf. We love turf down here in Virginia, and a lot of people love turf and around the country now. But this one's so wide open, I had to go five deep here and bar 15 from the wife. Lady Rockster here is 2 for 2 since shipping in here to the United States. See, I mean, you got Fluffy Socks. Who doesn't like Fluffy Socks? I mean, Flighty Lady. I mean, this one was just too wide open for me to narrow down. Did you narrow it down to one?
I didn't. It is, as you say, wide open. There's a couple of horses out of the Grade One New York who didn't win, but were within a couple lengths of the winner, and there's a lot of ways to go. And you didn't even use one of the three Chads in there. You didn't use La Mista, the two horse. That's another Chad. That horse was third in the Grade Three Eatontown last time. How do you pick among all the Chads?
I don't know. What was he for? He hit the superfecta last week. It was unbelievable. Chad was first, second, third, and fourth in one of them big stakes races last week. I paid a 10-cent Chad, $2.40 box. It only paid $8.70, but it was no hanging Chads.
It's Chad Brown's world, and we're just living in it, man. All right, let's go. So you're going 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In the Matchmaker, first leg of the pick four. Second leg of the pick four, the grade three Molly Pitcher, mile and a 16th. And you're going to go with one. You only got one. Talk about it.
Yeah, this is a good group of, very good group of horses, almost grade one level. I mean, this one's just loaded with talent and rising talent, but the one that stood above here was Search Results, and just in the Ogden Phillips grade one, moving down here to grade three. And as you said, Chad Brown, this one just ripped it at last time he ran at this distance. He was just phenomenal. Just, I think, by far better than the rest of the field. Leader of the band, solid horse, won the lady stakes last time. And trainer John Service says is hot. And Best Stream retains Paco Lopez for this race because Paco loves Monmouth Park. And that jersey, he's winning clip is on unbelievable. Penny Baker in here. You got some horses underneath for the exacta, but I'm a singleist and cut down the cost of my jersey pick four with Search Results. He's a 3-2, so you're not going to get rich unless you bet Frank Vespi $1,000 to win ticket.
If there's another Frank Vespi, you must be talking about him. But I'm really curious to see Penny Baker in here. Penny Baker was super impressive when she won the Heavenly Cause at Laurel back in April. She just ran away from Feet of Spree, who is a pretty good racehorse. And on her best days, she's quite good. And she just ran away from her. Not really sure what happened in the Chicago last time out. Inclined to give her another crack here in the grade three Molly Pitcher. But as you say, Search Results, super impressive. Lasix on for the first time. 5 wins from 9 starts. And never been worse than third. Obviously a must-use on the ticket. You didn't even mention, though, one other horse that I'd just point out is Army Wife, multiple graded stakes winner, won the Black Eyed Susan last year, was third in the Cotillion, and won a stake last time out at Thistledown for trainer Mike Maker. Joel Rosario in the irons, kind of an interesting runner there.
Well, no offense there. Go Navy.
He's a midshipman at heart. All right. Grade one United Nations, 1 3/8 on the green stuff. Pretty interesting group of horses. This is a pretty good field for this event.
Oh, that's an excellent card here. These guys in Jersey ain't messing around today. Yeah, they're sopraning up, so to speak. Trabhuda. It's 5-2, 3-1 for Ad Hama, and number 10, Gufu. I mean, I've used Gufu. He either wins big for me or sends me to the ATM. That horse is like a yo-yo, and I'm not good with a yo-yo. But I got to include him. So I'm using all three of them, Frank, in the Jersey 4.
So going 1-4-10, Adamo, Tribuven, and Gufo. Those are three just classy animals. I mean, they're grade one quality horses. They're legit. And I think you're right. I mean, the race certainly runs through those three. And if you want to beat them, you got to figure out who's going to bring a stepped up game today. So Derby Bill landing on.
There's one horse, Kentucky Ghost. I think he ran at Colonial Downs way back, but he'll give you value if you're looking for a show horse or a superfecta horse. He's 12-1, I believe, Kentucky Ghost.
All right. And finally, the Haskell itself, grade one Haskell, $1 million on the line, three-year-olds. This is a race I think might have some impact on the three-year-old championship this year, and you got two of them.
Oh, yeah, you got the Baffert-connected Tabia, and then you have top-of-the-line, top favorites here, Jack Christopher. I think he's every smart handicapper in the world's top pick. He's moved up the three-year-old ladder, and, you know, he's almost triple crown status. You know, that horse is amazing and wins, what, 33% winning clip. I mean, you can't ignore that. So I got it between them two. You got Cyber Knife. You got some horses that haven't done enough as three-year-olds to win a clip's invitations to the awards dinner, but that Cyber Knife and White Umbara has really gone downhill lately. So I'm just using the top two, Jack Christopher and Tabia, in this one to keep the pick four from being a $60 ticket.
Now, Taiba won the mile and an eighth Santa Anita Derby. This is going to be the first time around two turns, though, for Jack Christopher. Does that concern you at all?
More concerning was his 12th in the Kentucky Derby, which always puts him on an X list of Derby bills. But, you know, I think he bounced. He can't beat Jack Christopher here, but, you know, I can't believe he's 7-5 morning line. I mean, I thought, you know, it'd be 3-1 or something, because Christopher will get all the money.
Yeah, that's interesting that they made Taiba the favorite in the morning line. BetMakers, which does fixed odds wagering, their first offering price on Jack Christopher is even money, and I think it was 5-2 on Taiba. So,
oh yeah,
that
heavily.
All right, so Jersey 4, he's going with starting in race 9. It's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Race 10, just the number 3. Race 11, 1, 4, 10. And race 12, the 2 and 7. You want to talk about the Colonial Cup quickly, Bill, which has been moved to Wednesday.
Yeah, the only effect on the whole thing was the jockeys, because I think Flavian Pratt was scheduled to ride on another mystery, but he's riding your horse, Frank's Rocket, up in Saratoga that day and won't be coming down. So Jared Lubberry, the hottest jockey at Colonial Downs, jumps on another mystery, and this horse is fully capable of winning again. He just won last time. It's been a while since he come in from Hawthorne, but these Illinois horses are just ripping Colonial Downs. So the ones from Arlington and Hawthorne are just lighting up the tote board here. Julian LaPerue will be the big name that comes in on Cellist, which you and Daryl mentioned it earlier. This one's coming off a Churchill Downs Stakes win, so you always like that. But, you know, it looks like it's a very good field, as long as you don't get late afternoon traditional New Kent thunder showers on Wednesday, which they're predicting.
All right.
And Derby Red Knight, Bill? If you remember, Red Knight for a shot here with Horatio Caramanis. Anything with red, you bet Horatio Caramanis. Red Giant. Red
All Bull. Right, Derby Bill, we're going to have to run here. Thank you so much. Thanks to James Flowers behind the glass. Thanks to Derby Bill, to Daryl Wood, to TK Kugler, to TJ Aguirre. Thank you to our listeners. Otherwise, we'd just be talking to ourselves. Keep up with the racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Tune in next week at the same time for the independent voice of Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. I'm Frank Vespi. This has been Off to the Races Radio. Have a great week, everybody.